even until the end of time. Then he ascends up into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God. And if I ask most people to tell me the story of Jesus, they can tell me those things. And that's a lot to know. But I tell you this morning, that's just skimming the surface of who he is. I need you to say he is again this morning. Looking back, we find hints of Jesus in the Old Testament. Looking forward, we find hints of Jesus' final reign over heaven and earth. In the book of Revelations, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am the root." Oh, hallelujah. "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." But there's still so much more to know about the fullness of Christ. Now, in the letters of the New Testament, and this is the passage, and this is where I want to get to this morning, and it comes from the book of Colossians. And in these brief verses, the Apostle Paul gives us some more pieces to the puzzle of Jesus. Amen? So, if you have your Bible, you can turn it to Colossians, the first chapter, and I'm going to start at verse 15, and I'm going to go through verse 20. Hallelujah. Because we're going to really talk about who he is this morning. And even though we talk about who he is this morning, it really is still going to skim the surface of who he is. The Bible reads as thus: "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. So in Colossians 15, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God." You might never see God. We can't see God. Man cannot look at God. Amen? It's written in the Bible. But what Paul is saying here is that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Amen? The word "image" doesn't really do justice with what Paul is really trying to say here. Because when we think of the word "image," we think of a picture, a photograph, a representation, some art form. Amen? Paul wants us to know that Jesus is the perfect replica of the Almighty God. That it is so close to God that when you look at Jesus, you're looking at God. So to see God is to see Jesus, and to see Jesus is to see God. When Philip asked God, asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said, "Have I been with you such a long time, and you not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." So to see Jesus is to see God. To know Jesus is to know the nature of God. To follow Jesus' teaching is to walk in the footsteps and do the very will of God. Then the scripture further says, he is the firstborn of all creation. I need to explain that because I want you to know that Paul is not saying that Christ was a created being. The term firstborn, when he uses that word firstborn, there's some attachments that go to that word firstborn. In the Old Testament, when they, in Hebrew, when they use that word firstborn, that means he is first in position. That means he is the heir. That means that he is the supreme. Amen? So as the Son of God, Christ is the heir. Christ is the ruler of all creation and is sovereign over all things. He has complete authority and control and power to do as he pleases. Amen? Let me say that again, that he has Jesus Christ as the Son, as the heir and ruler of all creation, is sovereign over all. He has complete authority. He has complete control. He has all power to do as he pleases. In verse 16, Paul goes on to write, "For by him all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth, things visible and things invisible." Now, I need to stop right there, because I want to explain to people who think that Jesus wasn't there when the world was created. Because when you look at Genesis, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Amen? But here it's saying, "For by him all things were created in the heavens and the earth." So, if all things, if God created the heavens and the earth, and then the Bible further says later on that in him all things were created in the heavens and the earth, is there any doubt that Jesus is really God? Further, it says, "Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through him and for him." What Paul wants us to know this morning is that Jesus was the creator of creation, the divine word through whom all things in heaven and the earth were created. John further states that in the beginning was the Word. Come on, somebody. In the beginning, John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. And the Word was. Is there any doubt that Jesus and God are the one? Paul is telling us that when the Bible says all things, both material and spiritual, were created, that means that in all things, Jesus Christ is the bond that holds everything together. Seven times. Isn't seven the number of completion? Seven times in six verses, Paul mentions these words. All creation, all things, everything, stressing that Christ's supremacy, supremacy and full authority over all. Now I want to shake, rattle, and roll a little bit. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? This includes thrones, dominion, principalities, and powers, any angel or devil, anything that we wrestle against. So when the Bible says, for we wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't you know that the Creator has power over the principalities? Don't you know He has power over all of the thrones? Don't you know He has power over all the dominions, over all the angels, anything that we wrestle against? This famous verse tells us that there's a spiritual battle that is going on in our lives. Our battle is spiritual. It is not physical. Sometimes, because we are human, we got to take a step back and lean back and not react with emotion and think of the things that happened to us. Hallelujah. Because they are not physical. They appear to be physical, but it's all spiritual. The things that happen to you, you look at the person that did it to you, but it's not them. It is a spirit doing it through them. There's demonic spirit that gets in the people and makes them do things that are negative. There's also spiritual blessings that come. The spirit gets into somebody and they bless you and you don't know why. It goes both ways. What is the meaning? We say we call it principalities. What is a principality? Well, a principality is ruled by a prince. And it's really a small piece. Amen? And it falls within a larger piece, a larger state. So what I want to say to you this morning is the devil is the prince. He is the god of this earth. And in this principality. But let me tell you something. Our God is greater. His territory is larger than just this earth. The enemy has a little bit of power here, because this is his principality. But our God is greater. Those in authority or the chief ruler, they have some power here. But the God that we serve, his power is greater than the power here. I always say the creation can't beat the Creator. You need to think about that. Because the enemy is still part of God's creation. And he can never win. He can never be victorious over the Creator. We serve the Creator. We serve the Master. And the creation, he's not greater than our God. Powers that that enemy holds are within this kingdom. Right here. This principality. But spiritual battles, let me just go back a minute. It says evil in heavenly places, again emphasizes. You see, I wanted to make sure that you understood that the enemy has power in this principality. Amen? But the Bible also lets us know that it says heavenly places. Hallelujah. This world is not a heavenly place, but the Bible says heavenly places, and there's evil forces in heavenly places. So again, emphasizes that there's things going on up there somewhere that we have no idea about, that the enemy is trying to win. But God already has the victory in all of those heavenly places. So the enemy's not just here, but he's working around up there somewhere. Hallelujah. But our God is greater. No matter where the creation is, no matter where the creation is, the Creator is there, and the Creator is bigger, better, more powerful than the creation. So we know that spiritual battles occur at all levels. Spiritual battles happen to your, they happen to your little children. You don't know that, but it does. You don't believe it, but I'm telling you right now, it does. Spiritual battles, they go to toddlers. They go to teenagers. They go to young adults. They go to adults. They go to the ones in the nursing home. They go to people in the hospital. They go to people in mental institutions. Wherever people are at, there's a spiritual battle going on. And the Bible tells us that we must be prepared for all of these attacks by putting on the full armor of God that Paul describes in Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Amen. But the Bible doesn't say put on the armor of God. You see, that's what some people read. Put on the armor of God. It don't say put on the armor of God. It says put on the full armor of God. The full armor. You need to be covered from head to toe. The full armor. Because wherever that you're not covered, it allows an area where the enemy can come through and attack you. Now, what is the purpose of this armor? It gives us the ability to deflect or even absorb. You know, sometimes you got to take some things and you got to absorb it. Everything is not going to just bounce off of you. But God is going to give you the ability to absorb some things. There's some things that you just don't want to absorb, but you have to absorb them. We don't like to see our parents or people that we know die, but that's something that happens. And when it happens, we have to absorb it. We can't deflect it. There's sicknesses. There's cancer. There's lupus. There's arthritis, high blood pressure, heart disease, depression, autism, blindness, polio, people not being able to walk, talk, see. Sometimes we gotta absorb it. We can't let the enemy stop us. I was talking to somebody and they said, well, you know, I really can't see to read the Bible. I said, but you know what? God gave you other ways to hear the Bible these days. You can listen to it on DVD or audio. Somebody will read the Bible to you. Hallelujah. Enemy might have thought that during this pandemic we won't have church, because there are some places closed. But thank you, Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. We have found the way. He has shown us a way that we can have church, that we can worship, we can serve Him. Call on the name of Jesus, the name above all other names, the name that every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess that He is Lord. But when you read these scriptures, Paul doesn't even stop there. He says He is before all things. When something is before you, you can only follow it. Hallelujah. You can't get in front of it. You can only follow it. Everything in creation is after Him. The devil and everybody, all His minions are behind Him. He is before all things. And all things are held together. Then Paul says, He is the head of the body. Are we the body of Christ? Oh, that was pretty weak. I'm going to ask that again. Are we the body of Christ? If we are the body of Christ, He is the head of the body. The assembly. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. You might look at me and say, well, you know, Pastor, other people were raised from the dead. Everybody who was raised from the dead died again. Jesus never died again. He died once just to show us that he can conquer this thing called death. And if we receive and believe in him and trust in him and have faith in him, that we too can conquer this. Christ alone is the head of the church. And if you don't remember anything else, remember rule number one, that Christ alone is the head of the church. Hallelujah. If you don't remember anything else, remember Christ alone is the head of the church. If you don't read anything in the Bible, you can't see it, you can't read it, and you don't understand it, just remember this, that Christ alone is the head of the church. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what office they gave you. Christ alone is the head of the church. And when something is outside the realm of Christ, then they're outside the realm of Christ being the head of the church. And all members of the body take direction from the head. From him. Paul reminds us that the church is the body of Christ, and individually we are members of it. Whatever he says, whatever we do, must come at his direction. And until we can commonly come to that, oh hallelujah, here's an ouch moment. Until we come to that, we're going to have divisions and confusion. Hallelujah. Because everybody don't have the mind of Christ. Everybody don't have the mind of Christ. Everybody want what they want when they want. But when you have the body, the mind of Christ, there's unity. Confusion goes. Obstinance goes. That we work together as one. Hallelujah. We will compromise and be able to share the good news as the body of Christ. We'll work together under the inspiration of his spirit. We'll be united in thought, in word, and deed. For this is the goal for which Paul says we should strive for. Because he says, for all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him. And through him to reconcile all things to itself. By him, whether things on earth or things in the heavens, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. Paul describes the deity of Christ, the fact that he is God, in simple terms. The fact that the completeness of God and all his powers and all his characteristics dwell within Christ. That's what he meant when he says, and through him to reconcile all things to himself. When we look at that word reconciliation in the Bible, it means for us to be restored to the right relationship with God. The right relationship with God. The right relationship with the Creator. Hallelujah. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, I just want to tell you, not only was there a disharmony of the spiritual world between God and man, but it also destroyed disorder and corruption came into all creation. This was the perfect place. We had a perfect relationship. They had a perfect relationship. Hallelujah. But sin is the thing that caused the disharmony. But Christ made it possible. Do you really understand that Christ made it possible for the restoration between God and man? before Christ came along, any kind of possible peace, it can only come from the shedding of blood. Shedding of the animal's blood. Sacrifices. Let me put it this way. After sin, God said, well, somebody got to pay for this. Have you ever said that when something happened to you? Somebody got to pay for this. Somebody gave you your wrong food when you ordered it at the restaurant. And you said, well, somebody got to pay for this. I'm not paying for this. I didn't order this. Somebody got to pay for this. Somebody's got to make a correction to this. Amen? God said, somebody got to make a correction. Somebody got to pay for this. So the Old Testament, we spent time and time again paying through sacrifices, animal sacrifices, paying for it. But then Jesus knew that that wasn't right. Christ knew that something else had to be done. God knew that something else had to be done. But you know what he said? I can't send nobody else. I got to do it myself. Do you realize he loved you so much that he came to take care of you, to sacrifice himself for you? I got to do it myself. I'm not going to depend on nobody but me. You see, this entity, this supreme being that we call God, let me tell you something. When he makes promises, he swears on himself because ain't nothing greater than him. Hallelujah. And when he come to saving us, when he came to redeem us, he said, I got to do it myself. So he came himself. Make sure he gets it right, that we can get it right. He came and did it himself. Hallelujah. Truth be told this morning, you'll never completely understand the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. You'll never be able to really understand and comprehend the whole mystery of God. It's a lifelong quest. Because every time I open the Bible and I read something that I might have read before many times, I find something else that I didn't know. Hallelujah. To me, that's a mystery. That how can I read something over and over and over and over again? And I don't miss a word, but I miss an understanding. I miss something that I didn't realize. Maybe when I read it, I was looking with my natural eyes, and I wasn't reading with my spiritual eyes. But when God, the Holy Spirit, is in you, and you start reading things over and over again, revelation knowledge. Come on, somebody. Revelation knowledge will come through. So you might have looked at First Colossians, the first chapter. You might have looked at these verses, but you didn't understand the fullness, the supremacy of who God and who Christ really is. Hallelujah. There's a couple of things that I want to tell you this morning. But I know that I could tell you about him. Amen. I can tell you that he is Jesus the Christ. I can tell you that he is the mediator. I can tell you that he is God. I can tell you that he is Emmanuel, God with us. I can tell you that he is our advocate. I can tell you that he is the King. I can tell you that he is everlasting. I can tell you that he is the chief cornerstone of the building. I can tell you that he is wonderful. I can tell you that he is counselor. I can tell you that he is mighty. I can tell you that he is Jehovah. I can tell you that he is King of Kings. I can tell you that he is Lord of Lords. I can tell you that he is the Holy One. I can tell you that he is the bright and morning star. I can tell you that he is the Prince of Peace. I can tell you that he is the Lord of Glory. I can tell you that he is the way. I can tell you that he is the truth. I can tell you that he is the life. I can tell you that he is the road. I can tell you that he is the rose of Sharon. I can tell you that he's the lily of the valley. I can tell you that he is the true vine. I can tell you that he is the true light. I can tell you that he is the Prince of Peace. I can tell you that he's a star. I can tell you he's the Son of God. I can tell you he's the only begotten Son. I can tell you he's the Lamb of God. I can tell you he's our deliverer. I can tell you he's the Good Shepherd. I can tell you he's the Alpha and the Omega. I can tell you he is the first and the last. I can tell you he's the desire of all nations. I can tell you he's the captain of salvation. I can tell you he is our great high priest. I can tell you that when all time has been gone, when everything is over with, that God is still going to be on the throne. I can tell you that he is still who he is. He is Jesus, and he is still more relevant today than he was yesterday, tomorrow, and forevermore. I can tell you who he is. I can tell you that he is the one that God sent to save our souls. He is the one that God sent for salvation. He is the one that God sent for us to be redeemed from. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That who he is. Hallelujah. Jesus came to set and gave his life to set you free. He came to set you free from those principalities, from those rulers, from the wickedness in high places, from the evildoers, from the darkness. He came to set you free. Hallelujah. Verse 21 says, and you that was sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he has reconciled. Hallelujah. Christ has reconciled. He has reconciled us with the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing would please him better than you being a servant, a son of the Most High God, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know, because of all of what Jesus did, God just passed it on, us on to him. He said, here, you take it, you can have it. You can have this. You helped me build it. Satan tried to destroy it, but you, hallelujah, you restored it. Hallelujah. Here, take it. You can't get to the Father unless you go through the Son. Hallelujah. That's who he is. Hallelujah. So I say to you today, if you don't have a relationship with he, Jesus Christ, who he is, you need to have a relationship with him, because he is. He is. Oh, hallelujah. He is our advocate. He's our savior. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Those that are watching, if you can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. And if you don't know who he is, I'm going to pray with you. And for those of us who really don't know the fullness of who he is, hallelujah, I'm going to pray that we get to know more of who he is and the fullness of who he is, that we can walk in our daily lives and know who we are with him in the name of Jesus. Because when you know truly who he is, hallelujah, that's when you really know that no weapon. Hallelujah. When you really know who he is, that's when you know that no weapon. No weapon down here. No weapon formed against you. Hallelujah. There's weapons that are formed against you. Weapons specifically for you. Now, whatever your personality is, whatever your flesh desires, whatever your weakness is, there's a weapon formed against you. But when you know the fullness of who it is that you serve, and you know how mighty God is, and you know the enemy's trying. Oh, he's trying. He's walking back and forth, and he's trying. But you'll realize that devil in hell ain't no weapon formed against me. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Can somebody praise the Lord right now? Can somebody open up your lips of clay and praise the Lord for who he is and what he is to you in the name of Jesus? You realize that no weapon formed against you shall prosper on your job. No weapon formed against you shall prosper in your relationship. No weapon formed against you shall prosper in your home, whether it's your kids, your neighbors, your community. No weapon formed against you shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. You walk with your shoulders straight. You're walking tall, knowing you won't have your head down, because the God you serve is bigger than anything that the devil or anybody can do. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, because he is God. He is Almighty. Hallelujah. Father, as we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I come to you on bended knee this morning, Lord. Oh God, I ask you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that there's somebody out there, Lord, that needs you right now, Lord. Somebody that is looking in a mirror, somebody that is feeling within themselves, Lord, that they're not feeling like they're not worthy of love. They're not worthy of compassion. They're not worthy of your grace, Lord. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I look to them, Father. I pray that they open their ears to hear and their eyes to see that you are a great God. Your mercies are and last forever. They're full, Lord. Oh, Father, from the lowest of the low that the world will call low to the highest of the high that the world calls high, God, we're all within the realm, Lord, of your grace and your mercy. Lord, there's no big eyes and little U's, but Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that somebody is lifted up out of the miry clay. I pray that somebody looks to you, Lord, and realize that you are the author and the finisher of their faith. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they realize that they are worthy, they are worthy, they are worthy, Lord, to be called your son or your daughter. I pray in the name of Jesus that you have an assignment for them. Lord, that you place them here for a purpose, Lord, that all the things that they went through at this particular point in their time has lined them up for the purpose that you have for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And if they would just confess that Jesus, you are Lord and you are Savior, then they confess that they are a sinner, Lord, that you can save them, Lord. If they understand, Lord, that you died on the cross, that you rose on the third day and you conquered death, and they have faith to believe, Lord. If they believe that, Lord, that they can be saved and have that right relationship with you. And Father, for us, we are saved, we are sanctified, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you reconcile our minds right now, Lord, that we can do more understanding, more understanding about who you are, Father, how great you are, Lord, that we can walk in the power and the authority in which you granted, that the serpent, that we can step on his feet, that we can use our feet to crush his head, Lord, that we can say, Satan, get behind me. Satan, take the hands off of my family right now. Satan, take the hands off of my children right now. Lord, tell Satan to take his hands off of my child right now. Lord, tell Satan right now to get out of my house. Tell him to leave my car alone. Tell Satan right now in the name of Jesus that he can't have this body. That sickness has got to go in the mighty name of Jesus. So we thank you right now, Father, because you are greater than all creation. You are greater than anything that the enemy can do. You are greater than anything right now. in the mighty name of Jesus. So we bless your name tonight. Lord, we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless you right now, Lord. We thank you right now, Father God, for all that you continue to do. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I need somebody to give the Lord a praise right now. I need somebody to thank the Lord right now. I need somebody to look at their, what they came in here saying was their problem. It's their situation. I need to turn that down right now. Turn it down. I need somebody to look at their situation right now and know that God is handling it. That sometime in the near future, that sometime in God's time, that God's going to turn things around. Oh, hallelujah. That these things ain't nothing to God. That impossible is nothing to God. The Bible tells me what's impossible to man is possible to God. So right now, look at your impossibilities and know that it's possible in the name of Jesus. The Bible said if you only believe, it's time for us to declare and decree victory in spite of what we see. It's time for us to declare right now the goodness of God. It's time for us to stop looking at what we see with physical eyes and look through some spiritual eyes and declare the glory of the God of God. But what the enemy means for our bad, God's going to turn it around for our good. Satan thinks we're walking around in defeat, but we're going to walk around in victory. Victory is ours, say the Lord. Victory has already been won. Victory is Calvary has already covered everything that we're ever going to come across in this life. And not only in this life, but in the life to come. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you today. Walk in victory today. Know who he is. If he ain't it in your life, make him he is it in your life. Because he is who he is. God said, I am that I am. Somebody should bless him today. Somebody should bless him today. Somebody got to know victory is yours. Bless him today. Don't walk around with burdens. Cast all of your cares on him in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Situations going to come, but God will cover them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Always. We always are triumphant. Always. 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 Not sometimes, but we're always triumphant. Hallelujah. The Bible says, but thanks be to God who always leads us. Hallelujah. That he leads us. And it's time to realize he's leading you somewhere. Somewhere God is trying to lead you. And you need to get submissive and say, God, where you lead me, I'll follow. You don't have no peace because you're not following. You want to do it your way. But somebody needs to tell the Lord, Lord, where you lead me, I'll follow. Because when you do that, the fullness of who he is. I said the fullness of who he is can come into your life. May God bless you today. May he lead you today. May you realize when that circumstance come up, who he is. God bless you.